Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
We're looking at the UCC Statement of Faith, and if you remember last week, we read from the opening chapter of Genesis, Genesis 1, the creation hymn that goes back to about 500 BCE, 500 years before Jesus. Very polished, very good Hebrew. Today we jump back to 900 BCE, and the Hebrew is very jagged, very ancient, very old. And here we have a parable about how things got messed up in life, because we're all Adam and Eve. I'm going to read just a short selection from that parable. Okay, very old. It goes back to the time of Solomon, if you can imagine that. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you will die.'" What's interesting here, this is a tremendously psychological parable. God never said, "You shall not touch it." This is Eve adding to what God had said. What does that say about a person when they're adding to things? "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Tremendous picture of temptation here. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord." Now, this is something that's very biblical, and it's not the way we think of things. In the Bible, we're the ones hiding from God, and God takes the initiative to seek us out. Okay? This is why, like in our tradition, communion is brought to us. It symbolizes, you know, the good news of the gospel being brought to us. Not so much us are seeking it out. "They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" In the Bible, again, that's the question God asks all of us: where are you? "And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And God said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Patty and I, like David Brooks, we agree with a lot of what he says. If you've ever watched PBS or read him in the New York Times. And in his book, The Road to Character, he says this. Once the necessities of survival have been satisfied, the struggle against sin and for virtue is the central drama of life. No external conflict is as consequential or as dramatic as the inner campaign against our deficiencies. Once the necessities of survival are satisfied, the struggle against sin and for virtue is the central drama of life. What do you think of that? Do you agree or disagree? If he's got a point, our line in the statement of faith today is extremely relevant to all of our lives. When it says of God, you in holy love seek to save us from aimlessness and sin. What's that all about? You in holy love seek to save us from aimlessness and sin. Aimlessness. That's not found in the classic creeds of the Christian church. The forgiveness of sins definitely is in all of them. But aimlessness is not. But I'm glad it's here. It's something new. And it's a modern problem. I think we've all run across people who sort of have lost their way. They've lost who they are, they've lost where they're going. They're just kind of directionless. And I don't know if you remember back to the old Beatles song, you know, he's a nowhere man. You remember that? I copied down some of the words here. Lennon and McCarthy. He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, doesn't know where he's going to. But isn't he a bit like me and you? Isn't he a bit like me and you? I think we probably all have run across people who are just like this, sort of aimlessness in life. Maybe we've been there ourselves at some point. Have no idea who we are, what we want, where we're going. We're just sort of lost. I remember on one occasion taking a youth group to a corn maze up in the Litchfield area. And it was a big one. And, you know, the kids were fine. They go in and out, follow these paths here and there. I lost all sense of direction in that corn maze. I couldn't find anything. I had no idea how to get out. And you know that feeling? Your heart sort of sinks. Where am I? How am I going to get out of here? But there was a stand that you could climb where you could see over the corn maze and see where the trails are and how to get out. So I climbed up the stand and saw, oh, there's the trail out. And went out. And, of course, the kids are all waiting for me outside there. But our statement of faith is saying that God is like that stand. He shows us where the good paths are in the maze that can be our lives. He shows us the way out. You seek in holy love to save us from aimlessness and sin. Sin. We don't hear that much about sin, do we, today? Despite David Brooks. And David Brooks says we should be thinking about it because it's important. But today, where do we read about sin? In the restaurant, in the dessert menu, right? Sensational, sinful, chocolate, heart-stopping. There's a real website about, it's either a restaurant or a bakery or something called Sin. And they make cakes and all sorts of good desserts. And they're found, this is a real website, you can look it up, eatwickedly.com, eatwickedly.com. And their theme is, come sin with us. And let me tell you, I was tempted. Carl Sandburg, you know, he was the poet that talked about the fog coming on little cat's feet. He once said, there's a zoo inside of me. There's the eagle that wants to fly high. But there's also the hippopotamus that loves just rolling in the mud. And I think that's true for me, at least. You know, I want to fly high like the eagle, do good stuff. But there's also that hippo inside of me that just loves rolling around in the mud. And that's our problem. The word sin actually comes from the world of sport, believe it or not. And it refers to missing the mark, missing the target. And it pictures an archer shooting at a target. And not only does he not get the bullseye, he misses the target altogether. Same with a javelin thrower, aiming at a target, missing it entirely. Sin in the Bible is missing the mark. It's getting our relationships kind of mixed up. You think of a virus on your computer, what does it do? It messes up your connections. And sin also messes up our connections with God and with one another. Sin is our separation from God. That's its root meaning. It's our separation from God. And that in turn affects our relationship with one another. We tend to put ourselves in the place in the center where God should be. And when we do that, the center can't hold and things just fall apart. Many years ago, when my grandchildren were little, I was out on the beach flying a kite. We were both flying kites, one of my granddaughters and myself. And it was a windy day. The kites were flying high. It was a great day for flying kites. And all of a sudden, there was such a pull on my string that it broke. And you know what happens when a kite loses its connection? It starts spinning. Comes down and crashes. My granddaughter still had her string connection. Her kite was flying high. And I think that's an image of what happens in life. When we lose that connection with God, things fall apart. When we have it, we can fly high. And that's what the parable of Adam and Eve is all about. If you read the whole thing, what happens? Adam and Eve turn their back on God. And when they do that, their relationship starts to fall apart. They start blaming one another. Then they're disconnected from nature itself. And it's just one thing after another falling apart. Sin at its heart is turning our backs on God. But that's not the last word. The statement of faith says that, you know, you seek us out. God takes the initiative. While we're like Adam and Eve, hiding in the woods, God takes the initiative to seek us out. And he asks that question, that haunting question, where are you? And that's addressed to each one of us, including myself today. Where are you? You seek in holy love to save us. Salvation is the healing of broken relationships. It's the healing of relationships. And I like this example. This was an example that was used by Donald Bailey. And he says, imagine yourself in a circle at night. We're all in a circle, we're all holding hands, and in the center is a fire. And that fire represents God. And as we're all in the circle facing the fire at night, in that light, we can see one another's faces. We can dance and sing and care for one another. We're holding hands. But he says something has happened so that we're turned around from the way God meant us to be. And somehow, now, we're trying to hold hands in a circle with our backs to the fire. And when we do that, at best, all we can really do is see our own shadow. It's hard. It's hard to hold hands with your neighbor when you're in this position. And most likely you can hardly see the person's face. No dancing, no singing, no caring. Salvation is God in his holy love coming to put us back to the way we were meant to be, facing that fire, holding hands, seeing one another's faces in the light of God, singing and dancing together. Salvation is the healing of relationships. It's opening the connection between ourselves and God, and between ourselves and one another. You seek in holy love to save us from aimlessness and sin. And we give thanks. Amen.